Sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be a living with you. Are you? Amen and amen. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 4. And we'll read. I have an announcement to make. There is a 2008 Georgia Youth Banquet at Brother Daniel Gessendiner's. It'll be on February the 29th through March the 1st. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if anybody's interested in any of the announcement, then, you know, receive it up here. It'll be on the front. You know, and also, I know you've already, it's already been announced about the one in Murfreesboro. So just remember these, that the Lord would be with them, and, you know, go and be there if you can. Fellowship with us. Just pray one for another. Zachary, after we left church here Wednesday night, Zachary started out with diarrhea and vomiting and was all Wednesday night and all day Thursday, and just began to get over his. And Terrence and Lisa started yesterday morning, and they were in the bed all day yesterday, and they're just now beginning to get over theirs and still have diarrhea. And now this morning it struck Abby Grace, so she's already vomited, I think, about four times this morning. And they told her if she went as much as eight to make sure and bring her to the, you know, to the doctor or to the quick care or something where they could check her, because she would dehydrate. And our wife's been sick all this week, but she was doing better. I carried her to the chiropractor there Friday, and she got to doing better, and all, but she's there helping take care of Abby Grace. So just remember these, the sicknesses among us and all, and just pray that the Lord would bless. We're glad the weather turned out as it did, to be able to get out and everything and all, and we were all able to get home Wednesday from the services and things. So just, you know, thank God for these things. We need the rain, but we don't need the snow that turns into ice. You can drive on snow, but it's hard to drive on ice down in this southern part, because it turns into solid ice. Amen. So just remember that. Revelation 4. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be able this day to stop in life and to be able to come together and sit down and fellowship around thy word. We know there's many sicknesses among us and many problems, Father, that is given around the land of all of this sicknesses and things that's come upon people. But we know that you're in charge. You're in command. So you will keep it from us. Lord, we don't expect all things to where that we don't get sick in the natural world, but because we know we're under the curse. But we do depend upon you as the healer in the time of removing the things from us. And we depend solely upon that, Father. We love you and we thank you. Just have your way. Remember the sick ones and all, Lord, and just touch each one. Forgive our sins and lead us now. As we read your word, and our Lord, you come and speak to our hearts and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation 4, we'll just read 1 through 8. I want to try to, if we can, get through chapter 4 this morning and get on to chapter 5. It was left up to the Lord. After these things I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, saying, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon, like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now notice it's round about the throne. See, you got the 24 seats. All right, now watch it as we go through it though. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Now not voice, voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst, now what? In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now that's all gathering in. See, watch. And the first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like unto a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let's just continue on. And when those beasts give honor and glory and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now, who is that on the throne? Watch it. It proves now that it's the one true and living God, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ as that one true and living God now. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All right, you may be seated. The Lord had his blessing. So there shouldn't be any question as to who's sitting on the throne. There shouldn't be any problem, you know, as to the being in the 4 beasts, the combat beast, as being in the midst of the throne. See? All right. Shouldn't be any trouble with us as to understand who this is, because it's one true and living God. Right? And we know this is where that the Lord Jesus, as we preached, you know, that John saw where Jesus went. Where did he go? He went straight to the throne. All right. Come back down on the day of Pentecost to make manifest in the hearts of the saints that throne on earth. All right. But John is taken up in chapter 4, as a type of the rapture, all right? And we went through to show you, trying to divide it enough to give understanding that John never left the earth. So he's taken up in spirit, all right? He goes up in spirit and sees these things. But there is a time when the rapture does take place, all right? And when it does take place, you know what you'll see? Just what we've read. Right? Now when the rapture takes place, you'll see just what we've read. When you go up in a rapture, you'll see what John saw by revelation as he was taken up in the Spirit to write the things and bring it back to us. And you know, I pray that what I've tried to bring to you has opened up enough to you to see, you know, the point of what we've been trying to bring. Because I know it gets sometimes confusing in our minds and things, but it's very simple. If you'll go back to a message that Brother Joe and Brother Richard has now got on the website, a series I preached, and I asked him this morning what it was. It's 1994. I was trying to figure out what year it was, but I preached a series called Matching Pieces. All right, and see, if you'll go back, if you're some of you younger ones, and you can get that, or they will be glad to make you an MP3 off of it to where you can run it through and listen to the series I tried to preach, because what I tried to preach there is what I'm trying to preach now. There cannot be a scene in heaven after the rapture. Now listen, there cannot be a scene in heaven after the rapture that does not have its beginning upon the earth. Because it would be something different. Are you understanding? It'd be something different. So, when we see on earth what is seen in glory, then that's the matching pieces, and you're going to go then to where that your reward is. That should be a simple point of understanding. That shouldn't even take a revelation. That ought to just be sensible language. Because when you get to heaven, you're not going to see something new or different or something that was not started on earth. All right. And that's what I've tried to get you to see, that, you know, and then I asked the question this past Wednesday, who is on the throne in your heart? See, because the one on the throne, we know he went up, he carried up, he delivered the Old Testament saints, you know, all right? He became the one on the throne. The body was left on the throne, not as a lifeless body. Just because the Holy Spirit came back on the church didn't mean that the body was lifeless laying up on the throne. It's a scene. And I gave you a quote at the last of the things of where it is telling you that this is not a verse by verse, chapter 4 and chapter 5. It's the last one on your notes down below number 11. You can look at it. We'll read it later on. But this is a scene of what something is taking place. But it must now, watch, before it can be a scene in glory after the rapture. Now, it has to be a scene on earth, or there wouldn't be any scene in glory. So all we got to do is just get the pieces matching. You know, see what's on earth in our hearts. And then go from the point of what's in our heart to what will be when we get there. I believe that John went up and was a type of the rapture. All right? But I don't believe John stayed up there. I believe John come back to tell the church what we need to be here. It wouldn't have been no good to us if John had just went up in a rapture, stayed up there. You know. So he didn't do that. He was translated in the spirit. And you and I have got to be resurrected sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to understand what John saw. John saw, as I tried to get in that message, saw where Jesus went. Where? He went up, come right back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right? Amen. See, then that puts it right back in the scriptures of what we're talking about. Right. But see, get in your mind what I'm saying. What's on earth is the same as what's in heaven, except it's here in a condition of, you know, you don't, in heaven you don't see no demons running around and devils to deal with. But it shows now, listen, when the rapture does take place in this church age, and I believe that, it shows that somebody did overcome. Or there won't be a rapture. But that overcoming is in you and I. So who's on the throne in your heart? Well, the one in my heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been there ever since ever since what? He's only been there ever since you're born again. You weren't born with him in your heart. Alright? So when you got born again, that put Jesus Christ on the throne, the bottom of the pyramid called faith. Now remember, I was trying to cover it Wednesday. But what is on the throne in our heart? Here this morning, there can be levels of understanding, right? Well, levels of understanding means how much God is on the throne in your heart. Are revealed unto you. See? What's in my heart today is what's been revealed to me. All right? See? What's in your heart is what's been revealed to you. That's how much God is on the throne. See? Then can we say that we're back to the faith of the fathers? Or is that just a quote? See? Are we back to the revelation of the fathers? Now, where did the fathers teach anything like River Jordan doctrines? You know, that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan. Then finally become, where did the faith of the fathers bring anything like that? Where did even just the beginners bring anything like that? So it shows where the problem's at. All right. Now, see, then in this end time, we are making manifest now. This is the only age that has the opportunity. Remember when I was in the message to the salutation to the church and then the overcomer? This is the only age that can make manifest the overcomer position. The rest of them were in a partial realization of that. Those back there could not sit in this end time with you and I because they didn't have a background in the Word. See, then by doing that, if we can see what's in heaven, we can see what's on earth. Then, and it's a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful position there. All right? Now, see, what you see in heaven, what you see in Revelation 4:1, 5, and all like that, you know, what you see in heaven means someone has already made that manifest, or will, now I say has made, because I'm talking about right here today, has made at this time, already made that manifest, or will make it manifest. See, then if we're Trinitarian, God is not back on the throne the way He's shown in the book of Revelation 4. Because it only shows one on the throne. All right. See, then it doesn't turn out. All right. Now what? Now keep following what I'm talking about. Might surprise you in a few minutes now. Here's what I want you to think about. I believe in... And I looked this up in trying to find out what it truly did mean, and it's hard to use the word progressive, but when I'm using the word progressive, I'm talking about an unfolding.
Right.
All right? You know, man has progressed through science, see?
Right.
From horse and buggy to a car to an airplane, etc. Good to see our brother back there with us. Glad to have you with us. We always say when someone comes the first time, you're a visitor, and we say, welcome. You come two times, you're just part of us. So welcome and make yourself to home. All right. But see, progressive, meaning you see something, then you see more of it, then you see more of it, then you see more of it. That's what I mean by progressive revelation. All right. All right. Bringing it to matching pieces to match what God is revealing. All right. Now, can you say that your revelation, that by your revelation, can you say by your revelation that that one on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Right. Amen.
Or are you still, well, in a way, I guess, because, see, now, wait a minute, you've got to do, well, you've got this, you've got to have this. No, can you see that Jesus said, I come from God, and I went back to God? Can you see that in your revelation? Can you see that He can be sitting on the throne in a corporal body today, the one on the throne, can be the Lord Jesus Christ in an eternal corporal body? How else can you say it? Corporal meaning body like us. Eternal meaning that when He was raised and changed and ascended, we have a glorified sacrifice laying on the altar. All right. Then one day we'll have a body like unto His body, the Bible says. But can you say that that one there is the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you say, well, it's the Father? Well, see, then what's in your heart is not matching what's in heaven. The Father's throne was made manifest on the earth on the day of Pentecost, right? Which brought the Son of God to live in you and I down through the ages. See, can we say our revelation is the same? Can we see that what we see is the same as what's there? See, we claim to understand the 24 elders. Because that's the 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs. We claim to believe in the combat beast. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as to be up on earth in the form of the combat beast. But to be the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle that we just read there in Revelation 4. We claim to understand that is the church on the earth. All right. But does that put Him back on the throne of our heart? by revelation, or is that just a statement? Is it just an intellectual understanding because the prophet said it? Or has that been revealed to you? That's why I kept trying to illustrate, see, the one on the throne, and then he goes and he becomes the one on the throne, as we'll cover more later on. It's not another one. Not another throne. There's not two or three on a throne. It's one true and living God being revealed. See, then seeing him revealed, all right, we know. We know by reading Revelation 4, verse 2, all right, that there was a throne in heaven. And watch what I'm talking about progressive, because we'll cover this over and over. I want you to see it. I know we've been over it a lot of times. But see, John first sees the throne. Right? Then he sees one on the throne. Now, it didn't open up to say, John saw one on the throne. That's the way we think. But it doesn't. It showed the throne first. It showed the open door. It showed the voice. All of that being the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to John. All right. Then we come to a place. Come on, turn this fan on over here. Wait, because it'll get to me up here. Yeah, I know it. You need it back there, but I don't need it hitting on me too hard. All right. But listen. See, first he sees the throne. Like I said, now he sees an open door. We know that's Jesus Christ. Okay. Then he hears a voice. We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to John, calling him up. All right. Then we see the throne and one on the throne. That's God unfolding himself to you and I. Okay? All right? But now watch. Then when we get on over, I'll cover it this afternoon. When we get over to chapter 5, you see the throne, one on the throne, and a book in the hand. It keeps unfolding. He doesn't put it all together in one statement. He doesn't just say Revelation 4, when I went up to heaven and saw one sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. No, it's progressive. It's opening gradually to where we can see it. All right. And that's the way God revealed. He doesn't reveal everything at one time to us. I'm glad he doesn't, because our human mind couldn't comprehend it. And it took all of these years to be able to see it. But now watch what I'm saying. Now back to the point. If we can read of a throne, if we can read of one on the throne, if we can read of 24 elders, if we can read, and we have here, of the combat beasts and the things, then John is shown that to bring it back here to show us what we must be here. He's not showing us what will be there. He's showing us what will be here. Now watch that in a minute. You'll think I tricked myself and said it, because sure, he does show him us there. I love that. All right. But get the point of what we're talking about. The Father's throne, the throne, was made manifest, the throne was made manifest on the day of Pentecost. The Father's throne. All right. The baptism of the Holy Ghost puts Jesus Christ in your heart. All right. Now, it wasn't fully made manifest there, because only 120 got the faith of the fathers. The 3,000 outside and everyone after then was born again at faith and had to grow into the faith of the fathers. So it doesn't show it all back there. So it shows us there in the book of Revelation as a finished product. Right. A finished product. It doesn't show that it's partial. Then go into perfect. It shows the throne, the Father's throne, one sitting on the throne. Where did Jesus go? According to Revelation 21, there, about verse 21, rather 3:21. Yeah. Sit with me on my throne as I sit with my Father in His throne.
Right.
All right. See, that was about AD 95, and at that time, he had already went to the Father's throne.
Right.
Which was where?
Right.
Up in glory, yeah, fine. Left the body, right, wonderful.
Right.
But come right back down on the day of Pentecost
right.
to live in the hearts of the saints
right.
to make that Father's throne manifest here on earth, our domain, our kingdom.
Amen.
All right.
Then
we can look at it and see, no matter how much it was in the ages, that those people having the new birth, they have the Father's throne made manifest in their heart. But not in perfect realization to be able to make it exactly the matching pieces. Because it would have to come to the basis of what Jesus put into the church on the day of Pentecost, which was the faith of the fathers. All right. See, don't worry about Son of Man and the seals breaking and it's breaking. Just stay where I'm at and get the point. So listen as I go down now. So John is shown in Revelation what was already happening on earth. See, what is that statement that people make? That some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good, and then the other side so earthly minded they're no heavenly good. You know, Brother Moat had the worst point about him, and I'm not throwing off on him, it was the truth. He was very intellectual. But when I was speaking to him, I finally learned him and you know, over the years, and you could be speaking natural and you turn to spiritual, you better tell him you're going spiritual. Because if you didn't, he's still locked on the natural, and he's got you off the word. See? Because the natural won't fit with the spiritual. So I just thought, well, George's shaking her head a little because she knows what he was. Well, see, what I learned was, I'd say, okay, now we're going spiritual. Well, see, that's the way it goes. See, you've got to be able to understand what you're talking about. So on the earth, you've got to have something happening here on earth that matches what's there. That's what makes us go there. You want to know what makes the rapture take place? When you and I become on earth what's in glory. When we become on earth in a spiritual condition by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's sitting on the throne there are when we have the same revelation. See, that's why a Trinitarian couldn't do it, see? That's why the prophet, the seals wouldn't have broke to the prophet had he been a Trinitarian. Because that's what is in that first seal. What did he say? My revelation is the Father and the Holy Ghost is the self-same person. He said, and there goes another guy, another feller. See? He had the revelation of the faith of the fathers, or the seals wouldn't have broke to him. That's where I don't agree with the people of the message that say he was wrong in the early ministry and the Son of Man finally straightened him out. If he hadn't have been right as far as what man knew. You say, yeah, but he talked wrong. He talked the seal wrong. That's right, because you didn't know it, and nobody else didn't know it. Is that blunt enough? You didn't know it was wrong, and nobody else didn't know it was wrong. And nobody was responsible until the prophet spoke it. That's why he said the Baptist has just now become a denomination. Why? Because they turned down his message. They turned down his revelation. That's what made them die. That's what made all denominations die. All right. Now, but do you see in your heart the one on the throne is matching the one in glory? Can you say your revelation of one God? Now, here's Paul. Now, listen to Paul. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's five of them. No. He had no such revelation, did he? He had the revelation of one true and living God. See, God and Father, and is can be translated even. God, even Father. You can translate the word and when you're reading the Bible, translate it into even, it helps you understand. The word you can see. It's not two or three different people. But it's God making himself manifest. That's why I love it there in John where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Where everybody else hates that and thinks it's some way of showing Trinitarianism. No, it's the only way God could do it to reveal himself. Because the one that was with God in the beginning was the Son of God, the Logos that went out, the speech, the God that would be made manifest on earth in the Creator.
Right.
And that's why I keep coming back to that in Revelation 4. The one who created all things.
Right.
This one they're worshiping is the one they say created all things. And I say amen.
Right.
My revelation is the same then.
Right.
What is yours?
Right.
Well, sometimes I see it. Sometimes I see it good and clear. Sometimes I don't see it too clear. I know. But there's no way in the world for you to come along now and try to teach me that there's some kind of a Trinitarianism in this thing.
Right.
Or two-ness.
Right.
Of the Lord said unto my Lord, when they're bringing out two personalities, and that's a quote from them.
Right.
Or two identities, a quote from the others. That's not my quote, that's theirs. Listen, church. There won't be a rapture under that kind of condition. I'm not de-Christianizing anybody because I preached this over 30 years ago that there'd be a lot, the biggest portion of people of this message will die and go by the grave. I preached that over 30 years ago and I don't have to worry about it. I still preach the same today. Why? Because they don't have a revelation. Well, we believe in one God. How do you believe it? How do you believe it? The doctrine you preach proves whether you believe it or not. Yeah, I'm not going to get where I'm going, I know, but listen. Down through the ages now, the prophet said that he died Son of Man, rose Son of God, said it's been Son of God down through the seven church ages.
Amen.
All right? To come back in the end time just for a moment to Son of Man,
right,
where he could go on from there to be Son of David. All right? Now, we understand that and we believe it. See? But now watch what I want to make a point. I want to make an emphasis, a point right here. So if I don't get any further, we'll make this the message, and I'll hold it to this point. We believe in Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. See, actually, Brother Branham brings it to, what is it? He brings the Son of Abraham into it. We'll get to that in a minute. It's on the quote. But there's only three sons, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. All right? Now, which of those, and I don't ask you for a raise of hands, but I ask you for a thought to understand, which of those manifestations do you believe is the most important? Whether it be Son of Man, Son of God, or Son of David. Which do you think is the most important? Now, I believe all of them are of the same importance. All right? Because one always makes way for the other. All right. Now, in natural starting, you would have to start with Son of Man. All right? And then let the Son of Man make way for the Son of God, which would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Father's throne in your heart. All right. Then that Father's throne in your heart, in this last days, now, only, is to come back for a moment as Son of Man. All right. In bride form. Okay. To match Revelations 1, 13, one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with the golden girdle, which is feminine. And then he can go to the Son of David in the millennium. But which do you think is the most important? All right. You say, well, Son of Man, because he made a way. Well, that's good. You got the right understanding now. But listen, the Son of God to you and I. Now I know, now listen and take it what I'm saying and don't mistranslate what I'm talking about in your mind. The Son of Man, I said it, had to make way for the Son of God to come into being.
Right, right.
Jesus Christ had to die.
Amen.
All right. But we had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Only thing we have is to accept the salvation that He made a way for. Alright? And accepting that salvation, we don't accept that salvation under Son of Man. Because we didn't know anything about it. The ages knew nothing of the Son of Man. All they knew that Jesus Christ died. Paul, in all of the writings that understood Jehovah the Old, Jesus of the New, greater than any of them, but yet still he spoke nothing of Son of Man in none of his writings. Alright. So surely, the one that died for us is very, very important. But the most important thing is whether or not you accept that Jesus Christ into your heart. Because he died for the sins of the whole world, right? He died for everybody in the world that would accept him. Is that true? Alright. But see, something personal to you. Then you go back to Son of God. You say, you do? Well, let's just see if you do. Listen to what your prophet had to say. Now watch, I hope you understand, and somebody on tape, I know I speak funny, but I try my best to make your mind come to a position that all I can do is what the prophet said, break the spell that Satan has over your mind, and don't you be so biggie-biggie to think you don't have one over your mind. Because when you think you don't have one over your mind, that is the one you have over your mind, that you think you don't have one over your mind. Is that plain enough? So listen now to the point. The point I'm trying to make is that the Son of Man died 2,000 years ago to give salvation, but that was offered to everybody.
Right.
But the Son of God didn't go into everybody's heart.
Right.
Everybody didn't receive eternal life.
Right.
But to those who did receive eternal life, look what it turned out to be. This is paragraph 166. Revelation chapter 5, part 2. As the son of David, he's an heir to the throne. Now, that's the throne of David, right? The millennial, right? As the son of Abraham, he's heir to the royal grant. That's by faith. Right, now, listen. Amen, is that right? He's an heir to the royal grant. Palestine and all that's in her. Abraham's seed. He was the son of Abraham. All right. Now that brings it by faith to you. All right, listen. As the son of man, what does son of man? What did man lose? He lost the earth. So as the son of man, he is heir to everything in the earth. That's why it deals with these human bodies in the end time. All right. All this he got and has to give it back to us. Then he's returning back as he was. Then as Son of God, he inherits all things. As the Son of David, he's heir to the throne. As the Son of Abraham, he's heir to the royal grant. As Son of Man, he's heir to the earth. As Son of God, he's heir to all things in heaven and earth. Oh my, that's our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. So now what I'm trying to make a point to you, and then you'll understand why I've tried to emphasize so much the Father's throne, Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that come on the day of Pentecost, because if that doesn't come into our heart, don't worry about the world. Don't worry about a royal grant. Don't worry about a millennium. You're not going to be there. Don't be concerned about those things unless you're born again. That's why the prophet said the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the most important thing in the world to you. A lot of you say, well, I don't really know where I'm born again. Well, then you better start seeking for God. And whatever it takes, you find Him. I've never been one that taught you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. But if it takes that to get it, tarry for it. I've never taught you got to fast to get it. But if it takes that, fast. I've never taught that you got to cry and beg to get it. But if it takes that to get it, do it. That's where people will say, well, I don't believe in this way. I don't believe in that way. Then what do you believe? Well, I believe in accepting it. 90% of the people that say, I believe in accepting it, I come from that Baptist doctrine, I know it. They never progress any further, so you know thereby there's not anything in what they're talking about. They're dead to the, as far as they understand of the revelation of the Word. The prophet said the evidence of the Holy Ghost is whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. And the Spirit of you is the Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Father's throne in your heart. Alright? See, then what is it? See, look what he said on Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, 1961, 7:30 a.m. Jesus in the gospel had four titles. We brought that. Son of David, heir to the throne, Son of Man, the royal grant. Excuse me, Son of God, Son of Abraham, the royal grant. Son of Man, heir of the earth, Son of God, heir to all things, the royal grant. The heir to all things. He talks about how everything could be lost and everything. Well, what's down on the next one? Jehovah Jireh, 1961-209. What if somebody said you had a big estate down here in California somewhere that you heired? Somebody willed it to you. Would you say, oh, I guess it's all right? Oh, no. You'd take off up there, brother, and you'd take attorneys and everything else, and you'd see what you own. You all take about this life, this natural life, but when it comes to eternal life, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, why don't you see what you're heir to? Amen. Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. That's right. I'm trusting in His love divine for the every promise in the book is mine. I'm heir to all things through Christ Jesus. I'm an heir of my healing. I'm an heir to my joy. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Yes, sir. I am an heir, a child of the King. I'm a son of God. Amen. Everything that God promised is mine. I'm joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Amen. I like to look through. So as son of God, you're heir of all things. Truly, the Son of Man made way for us to be the Son of God. Right? But here's the point. Listen. Why would it make that statement? And why would the prophet expound upon it? And that's only the three that I just chose to bring it out. Because as Son of God, now listen, we are heir to what David is an heir of. Come on. We're an heir to the David, as the son of David, be an heir to the throne in the millennium. You see why he says it, that we're heir of all things. We're heir of the Son of Man and everything that He has. Because He's the heir of the earth. We're heir to the Son of Abraham, the royal grant, which Abraham, Jerusalem and everything therein. But see, He didn't say the Son of Man was heir of all things. He didn't say the Son of David is heir of all things. He said the Son of God is heir of all things. Why? Because we have all things through Christ Jesus. Right? See? So then the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the most important thing in your life. Because it makes me heir of everything before and after. You know, I want Son of Man myself. Now I want Son of God because that makes me heir of all the Son of Man has. Well, I want Son of David, Brother Dale. I want Son of God because that makes me heir of all the things the Son of David will have. Do you understand? Just put the title to it, Brother Al. We'll end it on this part. Heir of all things. Why? Because that baptism of the Holy Ghost that we have, the new birth, makes us heir of all things. Yeah. Alright? prophet said, when you're born again, you get a checkbook already signed with the name of Jesus. Right? And said, anything you need, you just fill it out. Because it's already signed. And ain't no bank in glory going to turn down what you asked for. And I don't know really where Brother Brown made the statement, where or somebody else has made it, because I've heard a lot of people say Brother Brown said it, and I never looked it up. But people say God will bankrupt heaven to keep His word. I agree with that. He'd pull up all the gold of the golden streets to pay a price for you and I. He would do all of those things. All of those diamonds, all the things you see in glory. He'd give every one of them to keep His word. But He don't have to. Because His word made all those things. And when He said it, that's it. Heir of all things. Everything we have need of is in that baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I said it and I mean it. See, when you're born again, you just have an earnest. But amen, that's eternal life in your soul. But that's not the faith of the fathers. You grow in grace and knowledge by the opening of God's word up the stature of a perfect man, and that's how you grow, and that's why if you don't study God's word, you're not growing. You, me, whoever. If we don't study God's word, there's no way for Him to be able to take us up the pyramid. He doesn't open up our head and just pour in what we need. No. We study to show ourselves approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But see, in this day, we put the importance upon everything else instead of God's word. Then you come here, Brother Dale, preach word, 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 and you go away saying, we just preach word at Lula. I don't preach just word. I preach the word that is heir of all things. The word I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. The living word. That's not a lamb over there in Revelation 5, because a lamb can't take a book. Come on, I'm quoting Brother Branham. A lamb can't take a book. You see, oh, it's a lamb, and then it turns into a lion, and we just, oh, yeah, we understand all. We got. But what's in our heart? See, that's why the new birth is the most important thing in the world to us. But we turn down the thing that's important, thinking we got it. I've told you over and over. I preach it and I believe it, and I've hollered this ever since I've been in the message. I had rather go through life all the way to the rapture and walk into the change and then God say you had it. And me all of that time seeking God for more and more. Than for me to get there at that time and He said, you don't have it. Because you didn't seek it. Oh, I took it by faith. I took it by faith. I'm a seed of Abraham. I know all about the seals. I know all about the plagues, the vials. I know all what the prophet taught. Good, that's being able to read. You can have every bit of that and not have one ounce of revelation. Well, I understand it. Amen. But what about the life of Jesus Christ? What about the Son of God that's in your heart, that's heir of all things? Heir of all things. Showing us who we are and what's taking place. Heir of all things. See, then when I look up and I see that one there sitting on the throne, there's my inheritance. Right? Because whatever he has, the Bible says, what? I am what? Joint heirs. Is that the Bible? Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, of course, if you're a leaning to Trinitarianism of a River Jordan doctrine, then you can have Jesus Christ as just being a half of a God, as the man that preaches the demigod part of the two lords and said Jesus was just about half God or a fourth God. That's what he says now. I don't have nothing against it. I just don't agree with it. Because if he did, then I would be heir and joint heirs. So if he's a half, I'd only be a half of a half. Right? I don't need a revelation to figure that out. That's all I'd have. And then I couldn't say that I have all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. I only have half of all things. You see what I'm talking about? It doesn't fit Scripture. It's beautiful sounding because, oh yes, there's Jesus. He's just half. And somewhere, I don't know where we are, but we get something off of it anyway. But if he's Almighty God, if that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created all things that we read there in Revelation 4, verse 10, 11 and through there, if he is the Lord Jesus Christ, if that is one true and living God sitting on the throne, if that is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost sitting on the throne, the one true and living God, and then I'm heir of all things. Whatever he has, I own. Him being a son of God and me being a son of God, the only difference is the mortal human body that we live in. Well, I guess in a way you could say that, Brother Dale, but just don't go too far now. You might go overboard. Well, as Brother Moat used to say, you can't go into greasy grace any further than you are already off on legalism. Now, I agreed with that then, and I agree with it today. Because you're no further off going one way than you are the other. What's the matter where you're off? You're off. But see, heir of all things. Because down through the ages, that's the seven spirits of God, right? Not seven spirits of God like seven spirits. The Spirit of God in seven manifestations, one for each church age. Is that the way the prophet explained it? All right. See, that is there in Revelation 4. Read Revelation 4 over and over and over and look at it. Look at it in the progressive understanding. How that one opens, another opens, another opens, another opens, and it's a constant revealing of the one true and living God. First you see the throne. Then you hear the voice. First you see the door open. Then you hear the voice. Then you see the throne. Then you see one on the throne. Then you see 24 elders. Then you see a rainbow round about the throne. Then you hear voices, plural, like thunders and lightnings, going all the way to the white throne if you want to go that far. Why? Because Revelations 1 went all the way to the white throne. Come on, is there any problem then with going there? It went all the way to the white throne in Revelation 1. Because that's what it shows, girt about the pouch. That shows feminist. But then it goes on to show the government upon his shoulders, right? We covered those things. The prophet said that's the white throne judgment. Is it any problem to go to the judgment seat and sit with him and see us all there? Can you see yourself in Revelation 4? There's the 24 elders. They could see theirself. John knew there were 12 apostles. And over in the city later, the names are there. Brother Brown said, John saw his name. Well, what about the four combat beasts? That's the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, down through the church ages, right? Right. And he says they're in the midst of the throne. Did you read it? Midst means middle of. I've lost my common sense somewhere, if it doesn't mean that. So it doesn't mean middle like we all say, middle. He's just as much in one age as he is in another age. That's why he's in the midst. Because come on, everybody used to preach Alpha and Omega. He's in the first church age and he's in the last. Nothing in between. The Bible said he was in the midst. So I can be just as carnal as you are. If he's in the midst, that'd put him in the middle. That'd put him more there with Luther and Wesley and him and the ending up of the Catholic age under Columba and all of them. That'd put him more there than he is anywhere. If you're going to be that carnal. But listen, he's in the midst. He was in those combat beasts. Well, where were those combat beasts? The bride of Jesus Christ on the earth.
Amen.
Come on, that's been over 30 years ago. That's been nearly 40 years ago. They used to preach off the combat beasts and go back in there in the Old Testament and show the Dan and the, how they traveled and how they camped and how that they set off. And if you'll notice, it always was the line of the tribe of Judah went first, and then it would be the eagle following last, and they would travel that away, and they camped that away, and three tribes here, three here, three here, and three here, and they had those banners. Go back in the Old Testament and pick those things up. Then come down to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John that guards the book of Acts, your prophet said. He said, you want to know what's in the book of Acts? He said, the name and faith in the name. That's in the book of Acts, right? Well, how are you going to find out what the name is? Go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which was so important he couldn't trust it to a prophet even to bring. He brought it himself. And yet we don't believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's important. We'll turn over somewhere else and read. But listen, church. What I'm trying to get you and I to see, if we don't see Son of God correctly, then there won't be any other throne. Come on. Can we read that again? Then if there is not, this is not correct, and made manifest of the Son of God, down through the ages, the Father's throne, then there won't be any other throne. If it's not made manifest, Brother Gary, by somebody in this church age, there's not going to be a change of the body. But look, we looked there, they said, we see the 24 elders. We know who they are. John was shown past, present, and future, right? That which was, is, and shall come. Now listen to the point, and we'll try to end it up on this talk. John then sees in heaven and comes back and writes what is to be made manifest on earth. That's what he sees. Then when we make manifest, when we make manifest here on earth what John saw there, we're going. That's what the rapture is. The prophet said, I don't see nothing holding off the coming of the Lord outside of what? The readiness of the bride. Doesn't it say over about Revelation 19 when it comes back, calls the wife, the bride, the wife, hath made herself ready. All we got to do is put on the wedding garment. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to study it out. We don't have to do all these things. All we got to do is just believe the word. Accept what God says about us. John saw us already in glory. Come on. John saw what would take place after the rapture. This will take place in heaven after the rapture. Now where do we get on over on the seals with it? Where Brother Branham says, we're seeing tonight on the seventh seal what took place in glory 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
All right. John is taken up to see. And what does he see? He sees the bride. He sees progressive. Listen to what he says on Revelation, paragraph 111, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 24 elders, number 4 in your notes, 1961, 0101. He said, immediately in the spirit, behold, a throne set in heaven and one set upon the throne. Now notice a little later on, or we got it last night, I believe, that upon this throne, now watch him, that we find out that first there was nothing on the throne. So was I right a while ago when I was saying John sees the throne? The prophet verifies it. There was nothing on the throne. When he first sinned, he seen the throne. Then what does he see? Someone on the throne. What's that? We find out first there was nothing on the throne. And now there's someone on the throne. So he must have believed in progressive. Listen. So it showed. Now, what did it show about the one on the throne? What was shown by one on the throne? Listen to your prophet's definition. So it showed that Jesus had come with his church up into glory and was set on his throne. So that's after the rapture, right? Come on, the Old Testament saints went up and things like that, but he's not talking about Old Testament saints, right? Come on. Sitting on the throne. That's after the church age. Now we're going to get to that after a while. But listen. There was nothing on the throne. Then there was somebody on the throne. Showing that the church had reached a position. So you know what that means? That means somebody is going to reach that position. Right? Why can't we say it's us? Why can't we believe it's us? It's supposed to be in the end time. We claim we're in the end time. Why can't we believe it's us? But why can't we believe it correctly that it's us? Because that's not us without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost in us. So then if I was you, I'd be very much concerned about whether I had the new birth or not. Right. I'd cry and pray until I found some answer. Right. Well, we're Baptists, you know. You know the Baptists on that. If I deny the Father, I'll deny the Son. I got to give them all a part in my salvation. Now come on. If you was Baptist, you'd know that was true. That was what people said. Is that what you say? Come on. One true and living God. Now those combat beasts, in the rapture, we will come to the position that John was caught up to see, which would be the bride sitting in on the throne with him. And we read it there in about the 8th and 9th verse about the four combat beasts in the midst of the throne, the Spirit of Jesus Christ down through the ages. When it's made manifest, it's all will be over. But now listen to what I'm trying to get now. I'll go ahead and cover this one fast. Remember when we was in Revelation chapter 1? So I'll let you read the rest of the notes parts of it when you get a chance, but I want to just get a point to you. You remember when we were talking about in Revelation 1? How that before God showed anything of the church ages in chapter 2 and 3, of the bad things or whatever they were in the ages, you know, the losing your first love and all those things, that he showed the bride already in glory. Right? He didn't show the church ages and how bad we are and then showed the bride in glory. No, he showed the bride already in glory. Then he showed what would take place in the ages and how that we would do those things, but that God would put that in the sea of his forgetfulness and take us in. And that there would be a seventh church age. Or that we would sit with him in on the Father's throne first. And then it would come out to be the Son of Man, because the Son of Man is the one that's going to make the rapture. Because he made it the first time and he know how to make it again. All we got to do is get him here, but not in a corporal body, but in the bride. That's why Revelation 1:13 says, one in the midst of the seven golden candlestick, like unto the Son of Man, bride form. So he showed us already in glory. Then he turned around and told how bad we was. Now God never shows anything of how bad you are than how good you become. Now listen, did you hear the point? God shows you how good you are, then shows you how bad you are. He doesn't show you how bad you are and then tells you how good you are. Give me one scripture. Anybody, give me one scripture that shows how bad you are, then shows how good you are. Let me go back before the world. Just wait a minute, I need to spend a long time on this, but let me just get a point to you. Let me go back before the world. God created then, He come down in creation. We know the Lamb stood slain, Revelation 13:8. Before the foundation of the world. We know before the foundation of the world, according to Job, the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now we don't believe in pre-existence of bodies. We don't believe in pre-existence of souls, plural souls. I believe in pre-existence of eternal life. I believe in pre-existence of the soul of God, which is eternal life. All right. Now that's where you two soul people missed it, see. But listen. Then He comes down and creates a world in beautiful, perfect condition. And before He speaks of sin entering into existence, He goes to Revelations 1, 26 and 27. Right? Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let them have dominion. That's a spiritual man, right? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So there He shows before anything about anything in the world of how bad we've been or how the fall was, He shows you how great you are. Amen. Right? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? That ought to be natural. That ain't, you don't have to have a revelation. You need a revelation to understand what I'm saying. Yeah, but you don't need a revelation to know that's plain common sense. Because the first thing you read, there's no bad in it. The first thing you read is the bride with eternal life. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then you read of chapter 2 in the creation and chapter 3 of the fall. So then my point is correct that God always tells you how good you are and then tells you about the bad. Did He tell the little woman there, you know, so go, thy sins are forgiven. But sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Do you see what I'm talking about? We talk about being heir of all things. You know, the prophet said Jesus Christ never died to give us eternal life. He said because eternal life was with the Father before the world. He said He died to permit that eternal life to come into you and I. Eternal life was before the world. All right. Now are you listening? I'm trying to talk about what's in glory to see it on earth. All right. And watch then. The bride is on the throne in glory with Him. I gave you these quotes. That's Revelation chapter 4. Jesus had come with His church. Right. Number 5, His reward is to sit with Him in His throne as He sat with His Father in His throne. That's the reward. Son of man, dying, giving way for the Son of God to be made manifest and sit on the throne. Now watch the point. So we see the bride in rest in the book in Revelation chapter 4, just as the rest of the Bible declares what He thinks of her. But so then, if Genesis 1 is correct, and He didn't show you the bad part, and then show you the good part, but He showed you the good part and how wonderful you are, no wonder the devil hates the book of Revelations. And no wonder he hates the book of Genesis. Sure, we lay on his own, Genesis shows his beginning, and Revelation shows his ending. But we really need to lay emphasis on Revelation. Genesis shows our beginning in the creation of God and our ending of a natural human element in a rapture. And it's done by Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So in chapter, watch now, Genesis 1, We see how perfect we are before we see how bad anything is. Now go to chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Revelations and show me one thing there that shows bad. Chapter 6 drops back to earth. We know what the prophet said through the opening of the seals. But the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. Ain't got to that point yet. But she does go up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen until Revelation 19:21. Brother Branham even says Christ is not seen anymore. Turned around just in a minute and said, see Christ coming down through those two prophets. So what's he talking about? The Christ is in you. The Holy Ghost leaves the earth in the rapture, comes back through the two witnesses to make manifest. But get the point now. Let me just drop over a little. Let's turn to Romans just for one scripture, and I'll quit. Because I'm trying to get you to see what God says about you before you ever get there. Romans 8. What he says about you before you ever get there. How that Genesis shows how wonderful you are before you ever fail. How that Revelation shows you in the rapture and shows you just like Revelations 1 shows you before you ever start the church ages. Do you understand what I'm saying? All we want is a preacher to tell us what wrong we've done. And then we go home. Glory, we had church. Boy, we had church because he told us how bad we were. I told you last week, I believe it was, I don't have to tell you how bad you are. You know what you are. For me to tell you every service how bad you are won't convert you. Come on. But that's what people think preaching is to tell people how bad they are. Come on. What is it? Let me forget it. Now go on. Romans 8 and verse 30. Scripture we quote all the time. Romans 8 and verse 30. Verse 29. But verse 28. For we know that all things work together to good to them that love God and them who are thee called according to his purpose. Now that thee is one singular thing. Alright. Listen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Now he foreknowed, and then he predestinated you to be conformed later. Come on. He foreknowed. Alright, so am I still right now? He tells you how good you are. Then he tells you how bad you are. He tells you here what you were, and then tells you how you get there. Listen. Moreover, whom he did, let's go back to verse 20. For whom he did foreknow, by foreknowledge, he also did predestinate it to be conformed, later on, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now all of it's in past tense. Now, show me then where he's telling you how bad you are. No, he's telling you how good you are. You have never, and I'm going to make this statement and I'm going to stand with it, and just come and show me. You show me where preaching and telling people how wrong they are has ever converted anybody. We will go to the tapes in Africa of the prophet who saw naked women. And when he preached Jesus Christ, not them to put clothes on. They got under conviction and went out and put clothes on. Who taught them it was wrong? Because when the conviction of the Spirit struck, it automatically showed. You sisters, don't tell me. I'm too old. Sorry. You know what attracts attention of men. Come on. We're too old to play games. But why do you sisters not... Okay, I'll say it and then quit. Why do you sisters pretty yourself up to go out, but you ugly yourself up to stay with your husband? Oh. I thought you were supposed to pretty yourself up for your husband and ugly yourself up for the world where they wouldn't lust after you. And see, you say, Brother Dale, don't never preach on clothesline holiness. Tonight. I preach it that way. And when I preach it that way, I don't have to preach 49 sermons. I like what that Brother Carlos said about when he said to his wife, you know, them clothes of yours don't look right. She said, my daddy, that's Brother Forney, my daddy said they wasn't too tight. He said, your daddy don't look at you like I do. I've always tried my best to tell you brothers and sisters, you look over and see your wife's knees showing. If you're a human mortal, things arouse in you. If not, you've got a problem and need you some... the V word. I don't mind being blunt. Blunt, just blunt. That's the way I speak, blunt. But then you say, I don't preach against those things. You tell me the new birth takes away. It takes away the desire for those things. Beating you over the head will never straighten up nothing. All right, get out of it. But listen, I gave you some quotes where the prophet talks about past tense. And those who justified it hath already glorified.
Right.
So before he tells you any of the bad you've done, he's already told you how good you are. Right?
Amen.
Before he tells you how bad you are, he's already told you how good you are. Because he tells you you're already glorified. Why? Because John went up and saw you in heaven. Come on. John went up and saw us in glory. After the rapture, right? All we're trying to do is match it on earth of what he saw there, where we can go there, because it's the only way to go. That's why Luther never went in the rapture. He didn't match the one sitting on the throne. He only had a partial understanding of that one on the throne. By Wesley, Azusa Street, and all that. But see, by the revelation of the end time message, you and I begin to see who we are while we're here. The Father's throne, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now that's what the faith of the fathers taught. In the faith of the fathers, Paul never did condemn the people. He told them how great they are. That is the greatest condemnation that's ever been. If for somebody to tell you how great you are. I like people to tell me, you know, tell me how bad I am, where I can get out of you. I don't have to tell you how bad you are. You already know. What you need is to get born again if you got that thought. Now I'm telling you then, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost if that's what you think. So you need to run to the altar right now. If I understood that away and felt that away, I'd be in the altar before that word ever come out of my mouth. I'd be running to this altar to scream out for salvation. But now you'll sit there thinking you got it and go right on. But there's one thing about it. When it comes to that time, you won't have no cloak to hide under, because you'll know I told you and told you the truth of it. That I didn't preach like every other preacher that preaches you to death and beats you to death every service, and you come back. So, oh, we're going to church again because he's going to beat us again. I know I've been bad this week, but he's going to beat me again. What's beating done any good? Why don't you get converted? But see, God shows us throughout the Bible. That's my whole point. God throughout the Bible shows you how good you are. Then He tells you that by showing you how good you are, that that's Jesus Christ living in you. Amen. And that if Jesus Christ living in you shouldn't act any different than Jesus Christ living in Jesus.
Right. Right.
Oh, if I could just be like Brother Branham. Well, why don't you get born again? Come on, listen first. I mean it. Come on, Brother Dick. Sorry, I decided I'd just go on with it. Because I'm wanting to get on chapter 5. But listen, church. God never told you how bad you are and expects you to get converted. He shows you already in glory before you ever even come into the world. Right? Well, I don't know where He ever seen me yet. Well, okay, if you don't know He's seen you up there, then you ain't up there. Could that be blunt enough? But you see, church, salvation is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. Brother Dale, I want you to tell me like it is. That's one thing for certain you don't want. I'll tell you this much, and I'll tell it to you with this form. You never want the day that Terrence Dale declares that he's a minister. Now, he'll hear that, and he knows that I know it. But you never want him to declare that he's a minister. Because He'll tell it like it is. I try my best to be nice to you and love you and do everything in the book to help you. Terrence will do anything in the world for you, but don't you ever think that he doesn't know what's in this church. Because he talks with me. Sometimes you want me to tell you what he thinks. He's told me all the spirits that's in this church. From the pulpit to the back door. You say, well, are you trying to make something? No. I just hope he never becomes a preacher. Because if he does, he'll bust his church wide open. Well, we need it! And you don't want it. That's why it took so long. You think, I don't know what's in this church. God doesn't give you the word without giving you a spirit to understand. Like I was doing up at Brother Jess's preaching about it, and I looked right around there and I said, talking about where would you find Jesus in the Songs of Solomon, you know. She goes out in the street hunting for Him. To the denominations hunting for her master, her Lord, her Savior. When the Bible said He went to the garden. If she'd have known His Spirit, she would have went to the garden looking for Him. But instead of that, she went into the world looking for her Savior. And I tried to illustrate. I said, for instance, Brother Claude there, if his wife, she knows he gets down and out, she knows he's having problems, where would she go hunting for him? I said, she wouldn't go to Walmart. I'm just trying to show you something. You don't believe it or not. She wouldn't go down here and go out there. She'd go down somewhere right along the river where he goes to shoot his guns because he's an expert marksman, won many, many, many trophies in skeet shooting. I said, she knows where to go hunt him. She told me later, she said, I was sitting there saying, Brother Dale, that's exactly where I would go. I'd know where he's at. But you see, church, I take those things and I take them home and I pray and I cry. When God shows me what's here, I go home and pray and cry and ask for some way to be able to preach to you the grace of Jesus Christ to get you converted. But just come tell me. Doesn't run off too many. Done told too many things you don't abide by. But listen, we're heir of all things. Because Joel, I've changed the title on the thing. Because I gave him another one. But we're heir of all things through Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Let's just sing one verse and then we'll go in because it's 12 o'clock. Anybody have a need? Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Sure, Jesus is mine. I don't beg nobody for nothing and I don't try to scare nobody. The church, we're not hiding. But we've got to match what is there. Then we go there. We're going to match it here. Well, I just don't see it. I just don't see God among us like you're talking about it. You're the causing. It's not here. You're the cause that it's not here because of that thought you have. Because I'm trying to show you how perfect you are. Sometimes I break down and get into telling you the bad part about us, yeah. But you remember one thing for certain, you know it's true. I always tell you how good you are. I always tell you what Jesus Christ sees. Because He don't see you and I. He's looking through the blood. He sees us perfect. Already redeemed. From above. Echoes of mercy. You're dismissed. This is my story. Father, just bless the people. As we go eat, bring us back together this afternoon in You, Lord. Eat. Oh.